Glad to see my friend Greg Williams here. He's front and center. So if I start laughing, it's his fault because he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing. So as you know, Jeff is blotch boy this morning. He called me at about 10 of 8 and said, "Perry, I don't know what to do." I said, "Jeff, you need to go take care of yourself. And we'll figure out the rest of this stuff later." So basically, I'm up here by surprise, and that's okay. And I considered what to do this morning. So, you know, we've had our speaking team. For those of you who are new this morning, welcome. Thank you for coming. Jeff's an absolutely wonderful shepherd, a wonderful man, a wonderful friend, and I'm sorry you don't get to see him yet, but come back next week. Anyway, I got so sidetracked saying how great Jeff is, I don't know what I was going to say, but that'll probably happen a few more times than usual this morning. So I thought about what to do. Oh, I know what I was saying. We have a speaking team, and Jeff Howard and myself, Micah Corder, are on the speaking team, and we give Jeff a week off from preaching once a month and then during the summer for a few weeks. But Jeff was due this morning, but we've been doing that for about 9 years. And fortunately, the way I do my sermons is I write them out as if I could read them. I can send them to anybody and they read. And so I started looking through and said, okay, what should I do this morning? I thought of a couple of things. Doesn't matter what they were, but I settled on this from 25 April 2010. Who was here on 25 April 2010? Okay, well, I apologize up front. What if any of you would like to come up and just do this, that'd be all right. So, we're going to talk about the role of community in discipleship. And one of the motivators for that was home groups is a central part of our community. It's one of our pillars, one of our priorities that we call out, written down. And home groups will be kicking off in just a few weeks now. And so I thought, at least in one part, there's an important tie-in time-wise to today. So, you know, home group is a part of that. But anyway, I'm just going to roll with this. I may be looking down more than usual, and just that's all right. But the Lord is good. I will tell you, know, He is not. There's been no stress, and the Lord is good. I texted Jeff and Cindy, and he's in seeing the doctor right now. So just we've been praying for him, and that's a good thing. So I mentioned back in July, kind of shared my testimony a good bit, and I talked about a man named Mike Bumgardner. He discipled me when I was in high school. I was in a teenage guy's Bible study in his basement. And we did topical memory system, and if anybody missed a comma, we'd pelt them with cardboard blocks, and that was all fun. And I actually sent that message to Mike, and because he said, you know, this is the only thing that's written down about that ministry at McLean High School, and it was so exciting. Just lots of kids were coming to Christ in those months and a couple of years. So Mike was the youth pastor at McLean Bible Church. When Carol and I got married, before Malia was born, we were youth coaches with Mike. And one thing he said over and over and over again was, ministry is people. Ministry is people. Where there's no people, there is no ministry. There just isn't. Now, there is ministry for people that may not have them present at that moment. Prayer in your closet, you know, pray in your closet, that is clearly ministry, but you're praying for people. And, you know, ministry is people. And people form a community. Christ Community Church is a community. This is a place where ministry happens. In Acts 2:42, there is the ideal community, or what seems like an ideal community. For those of you who have been in community more than a very short time, you'll know that no community is ideal this side of heaven. But it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So it's easy to pull out the teaching part. You know, oh, well, sure, you know, what is discipleship? Well, discipleship is being taught. That's, you know, you learn, you get information, you adapt that information into your life. And, you know, we're a little bit, in my opinion, We're so fixated on what's the application? What am I going to do this week? In fact, last week I shared about moving from being more negative in my viewpoint to being much more positive in my viewpoint. I had a friend from work actually came because he and I have talked a lot over the years. So he came into my office this past Monday morning and he said, okay, this is a total tangent, but that's what's going to happen this morning, right? So he said, when you realized that you were kind of negative in your viewpoint, what did you do to change that? What steps did you take? And I was like, I didn't take any steps, Jack. I didn't do anything. I recognized it, and I sought the Lord, and then I just spent time in community, and I spent time in the Word, and I spent time with the Lord and with His people, and over time, God gradually transforms us and changes us. I didn't do anything when Mike, it happened to be Mike again, said, you know, you're kind of negative. I didn't do anything except go, boy, you're right. I wish somebody had told me that sooner. So anyway, you know, discipleship is not we do discipleship, but the doing isn't the changing. The changing is abiding in the vine and the Spirit of God and Jesus, the life of the vine flowing into us, the branches, and the fruit just happens. It just happens. Fruit, the branch doesn't squeeze out the apple. The apple just happens because of the life that's there. So the heart of discipleship is being connected to Jesus Christ and knowing Him personally. And where it comes back to community is that's where a lot of that abiding happens. And it's not just the teaching. The teaching is critical, but it's living life together. It's being together. So what does a community provide when it comes to discipleship? There's opportunities. There's opportunities to get together. So I mentioned home group. Home group is so important because that's where you get to know people. That's where life begins to be lived together, is in knowing one another. There's men's ministries. We had men's breakfast yesterday. It's a great time. I'm in a men's group, which I will talk about over and over again, probably because it's so central to who God is shaping me to be, is this men's group and getting together with these guys. I've been doing this with the same group of guys since 1998, with a 9-year gap, because for reasons that you have to go listen to the message in July to hear about. But we're back together, and I tell you, things happen those Saturday mornings. We didn't meet yesterday for various reasons, and I came here, but you know, I missed a couple, and every time I miss, there's something I wish I hadn't missed. Guys are breaking down. They're saying, you know, we're seeing a vulnerability in each other, and just things change as we share those times together. Women's ministries, the Bible studies that go on. And, you know, I'll just jump to what I had at the end. You've got to make some opportunities happen, too. You can't sit back and wait for Christ Community Church to present the program that you're interested in. You can't wait for, oh, I think I'm interested in that men's ministry. I'm interested in that Bible study, so I'll go. You need to go, whether it's particularly interesting to you or not, if a program is available, but you also need to create opportunities for yourselves as well. When my men's group that did disperse for a good long time, I said, okay, Brian Dean in the back. Good to see you, brother. I went to Ben Evans. And I said, we need to start meeting together every week. Let's just start doing that. Let's just start spending time together. And great thing, they carried me through an incredibly difficult time several years ago. And Carol, my wife, raise your hand, dear. Everybody needs to see you, because Carol just loves being the center of attention. I thought about having her come up to share. That wasn't going to happen. You know, we moved out to Lovettsville for a while. And we were kind of out there in the wilderness a little bit. It was a little bit too far away. For a variety of reasons, we moved back. And as soon as we moved back, she started a tea time every Friday afternoon. She had one this past week. It's been going on for 10 years with some old friends and some newer friends. But she completely created that. Carol will tell you she's a little shy. That took some effort for her to say, I'm just going to make this happen because I need this and these other women need this. And she did it, and it's been going, and I just love every Friday. I usually call an interrupter, and I say, oh, well, say hi to all of your little friends. That's what I always tell her. So opportunities, you need to make them happen and take advantage of them when they're presented to you as well. Another thing the community provides is mentors. We do not have a formal mentoring program in Christ Community Church, and that's where a lot of this, you need to make it happen. When I got out of college, I was in McLean Bible Church. Back when McLean Bible Church was just a few hundred people, by the way. It was very different, but Lon Solomon was there, a wonderful man, and my old friend Mike Bumgarner, of course. But I got out of college, I wasn't married yet, and it's like, man, I need somebody to disciple me now, some more. I need more discipleship. So I went to a man named Al Magnuson. He was on staff in McLean at the time, in the 80s. This was 1985, by the way, if you want to date it. And I said, Al, I need somebody to disciple me. I was just really intense. And he said, okay, we'll go through. We're going to do this book. It's the Pursuing God or the Pursuit of God, something like that. And we went through that for several weeks. And when the book was done, he said, okay, Perry, we're done. He said, I just have one thing to say to you. And I've said this before. He said, you need to not take yourself so seriously. That was the thing that I remember, aside from some of his very colorful stories. He knew Bruce Lee. He did martial arts. It was pretty wow, okay? And he had a bit of a temper, so those two don't always go together. So he had some stories of weakness that were still kind of interesting, but Al, I loved him. And he said, you know, don't take yourself so seriously. And believe me, that changed. That was transformative, just to hear that. But it took several weeks of getting together and him getting to know me, because we didn't know each other before that, for him to be able to say that to me that I needed to hear. So, you know, find a mentor. Don't wait around. Another thing community provides is accountability. Accountability is absolutely critical. There was a Facebook post recently, and it said, you know, the greatest freedom is the freedom to not care what other people think. Well, I will just say that is the most profoundly foolish thing, one of, that I have ever read. That says you don't need to be accountable to anybody. You do what you want. God is not, I'm really winging it now, but just there's something really fundamentally wrong with that. We need to care about what other people think, because God calls us to be in community, to be overlooking one another's faults, to be challenging, to be in each other's face, in a sense, with the deepest love and grace. It matters. There's an element of not being bothered with what other people think. There's a negative side, but there's a really important positive side to that, and accountability is the name of it, and each of us need that. In men's breakfast yesterday, he told several stories about how deceitful sin is and how he told stories of different men who have made the same mistake that countless other men have made. And he said, every time they think, it's not going to be that way for me. It's not going to be as bad for me, because there's deceit there. And accountability is the only way to root out that deceit. And if you see a brother or sister in the middle of that, you need to go and start digging that out and start showing them the truth. And, you know, sharp iron sharpens iron, that whole thing. Tradition. Another thing the community provides is tradition. And this is, I just think, a very interesting part of this. You know, tradition is how a community establishes and its identity, and it's how it maintains its identity. Tradition is critical. And we are in a tradition. You may think, you know, we're an independent, non-denominational church. We are very much in a long-standing tradition. So there's aspects of tradition that are long, and there's parts that are kind of new. But anyway, let me try to get back on track here. Tradition sometimes gets a bad rap. A couple of scriptures here. Thank you. Colossians 2:8 See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. Tradition can absolutely be bad. On the other hand, 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us." Tradition was a good thing and a big part of discipleship at Thessalonica, the book of Thessalonians. So our tradition, we would say we are part of the evangelical tradition. That is kind of where Christ Community Church fits, but even evangelical, there's connotations to that the society places on it that are negative. There's good and bad in every tradition, but that's a name of it. There's a lot of traditions. There's obviously the Catholic tradition. There's the Eastern Orthodox. There's Presbyterians, Anglicans. There's all kinds of traditions within the billions of Christians on the planet. And some of those have gone badly astray. And that's just the way it is. But yet, insofar as any of those traditions have maintained the great tradition, as long as they have stayed within the lines of the creeds that were handed down, it's what we call orthodoxy. And orthodoxy is a thing that was hammered out over the first 400 years after Christ was raised from the dead. There were a lot of councils. The Council of Nicaea in 325 was a really big one. That's where Emperor Constantine, who named Constantinople after himself, Constantine brought the churches together. They put out the Creed of Nicaea, or the Nicene Creed, which is often repeated today. And that was a tremendous gathering of tradition. Immediately after that, Arianism took over, which completely denied the deity of Jesus, that he was from God. Maybe he was a son, but he was not God the Son. He was not the Son of God. He was not a divine person. They denied the Trinity, and without the Trinity, there is so much lost. The Trinity is absolutely one of the most central parts of our orthodoxy that we have to hold on to, that the three persons of God perfectly loved one another. God was not alone and by himself, loving himself only, with nothing else to love until he created. He had a perfect love that he was then able to create and share that love even further. So Arianism took over, and it took until 451, another 125 years after the Nicaea, to hammer out what the divinity of Christ really meant. So a little bit of history there. I like that kind of stuff. The Council of Chalcedon in 451, and that great tradition was the end of what pretty much solidified in the creeds what orthodoxy was. And that orthodoxy can be read today to a large degree in Christ Community Church's seven statements of faith. There is a wide berth. There is wide line. This is Jeff Good talking. There's lines. Orthodoxy is not a hyper-narrow thing. Orthodoxy has a little bit of width to it. But any tradition must stay within that width. Because when we get to Revelation, when we get to the throne, and there are sands of the sea, or the number of sands on the seashore of people standing before God, worshiping him, there's going to be an awful lot of traditions that look an awful lot different from ours, but yet they knew that Jesus died for their sins. They knew that he rose from the dead. They knew that he was the Son of God. They knew that the Holy Spirit was given to us to teach us and carry us forward. They knew that God created. They knew that the Word of God is the Word of God, whole and complete, not to be added to, not to be subtracted from. They knew those things, even though the way they work out in tradition can be very different. And God bless Jeff Good, because his vision of this church is that we open our arms pretty wide and there are a variety of traditions represented in this church. But tradition is critical. So you have, and all of it is absolutely based on the Scriptures. A tradition that is not, that does not find its basis in the Scriptures needs to be cast aside. And the Holy Spirit is our guide for that. So it's the Scriptures, and it's the Holy Spirit teaching us the Scriptures through one another and this tradition together. Tradition is subordinate to these other things. It is not equal. It is subordinate. But a tradition is a big part of what we are. So what is discipleship? So I, to sum up that previous, community provides opportunity and mentors and tradition and accountability. There it is. So what is discipleship? First, discipleship is the character of Christ being formed in us. And second, sorry, I'm looking at this. Okay, we'll just keep going here. I'm trying to read ahead. Where am I? thank you, Bob. I appreciate the smile. discipleship is the character of Christ being formed in us, and that happens in your prayer closet. It happens in your own time alone with the Lord in intimate relationship with Him. That is the central heart of discipleship, is knowing Jesus, but a lot of that comes through community. Living life together. And living has its passive, it has that abiding in the vine that I talked about before, and it has its active, which is also what I talked about, making opportunities happen, showing up. You got to show up Sunday morning. You can't put, and you know, you all are here, good, thank you for coming. You know, Sunday morning is one of the places. If this is your only place where you come into the community, you're missing a lot, and you need to change that through home groups, through all those things I talked about before. But you need to be here as well. This is where we worship. This is where we refuel, as Bob said. This is where the Word of God is shared, and some experiences and testimonies are shared. We need community, and we need community because we need to learn from each other's knowledge, but just as much we need to learn from one another's experiences and what's happened to us. We need to hear testimonies of faith, and we need to have a safe place to ask questions. You need to be able to go to a place where you can just say, look, I may be completely off, or maybe I don't think I'm completely off, but I'm going to share this, and it's a place to be corrected. God bless the times that I have been corrected. I am so grateful for those times. So discipleship is us presenting ourselves to God for Him to form Christ in us. And it's us working together as a community to live by faith. It's not just information exchange. So James 1, 2 through 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So there's a logical flow here, and we can step through that. And I can, at the end, I can just say, okay, you need to consider it joy. You just need to consider everything joy. I have conveyed biblical information. So just do it. Just go. Go consider it joy. We're done. I think I have stated the Word of God, and you do it. There we go. Back to the applications. Well, how much is that going to help you? Because I spent an awful lot of years in the church, walking out of church and saying, how am I supposed to do that? And it's only been in the last 6, 7, 8 years that I've started to dig into, okay, I want to answer this question, because I had not for lack of trying, or maybe it was right there and I missed it. But how do you live it out? How do you make it happen? How do you consider everything joy? How do you get, you know, you've heard me say this before if you've been around for very long, How do you get to the joy that is above circumstances? How do you get to a joy that is so deep and enduring that no circumstance can break it down? And a big part of that learning is just seeing that lived out in other people's lives and watching them endure. I thought about sharing a different message this morning where, and Greg, it would have been unbelievably ironic if I had done this, but I thought about sharing about my year 2010 and my experience with my daughter and some incredibly difficult times that she had. And I didn't do that for a number of reasons. One, I don't want to keep going to that well and say, ooh, remember this, remember this. Another is I just didn't. I prayed and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to share this morning, last minute? And I didn't go there, but I will tell you, the punchline of that was I went through, and Carol and our whole family went through far and away the most difficult year of our lives in 2010. And at the end of that, I was questioning the goodness of God. And I looked back over the year and I saw his hand and I saw where the scriptures had come in. And I saw where Greg and other people in this church had stood beside us. And in Psalm 73, the Lord took me there. And at the end of it said, the nearness of God is my good. And it is that nearness that just opened my eyes again to remember God's goodness in spite of all that difficulty. And we each have our own experiences that we need to remember the nearness of God and how good he is. But the point here this morning is you don't just share information and send everybody on their way, go talk amongst yourselves. We need to be experiencing life together and watching one another. We're each going to be taking our turns walking through these types of years or weeks or decades in other cases. So discipleship is not just information exchange. Discipleship is life exchange. And if you remember any phrase, that's the one I want you to remember. Discipleship is life exchange. So what's required of us? There is some things required of us. One is commitment. There's commitment to be here. It's not just Sunday mornings, and I love to pick on kids' sports. My kids are in kids' sports. I get it. But I will tell you, I have a huge problem with people that routinely miss a Sunday morning because of travel soccer or travel whatever it is. And this is why. Because the most important thing you can do for your kids is to demonstrate the priority of the community of faith, to demonstrate the priority of the Word of God in your life. And a huge part of that in our tradition is Sunday mornings. And you are doing a disservice to your kids if you're basically telling them this other thing that you're involved with is more important than being in the community of faith. Please don't do that. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. It's not a legalistic thing. I want no part of legalism. It's not us controlling. It's not us making a list and saying anybody has to check off this list. I miss some Sundays, okay? But this needs to be the overarching priority is coming together. That will bless your kids in dramatically deeper ways than any college scholarship or any team thing, which are all good, but they need to have a different place. So commitment is critical. We just need to show up. Yeah, I mentioned life-changing moments. You know, Brian, you and I have missed a couple of men's groups, and I call Dean when it's over, and he says, oh, man, this morning was really epic. You know, guys just broke down and they were sharing things they hadn't shared before and like, oh, I'm just so wish I had not missed that. And, we risk missing some big things when we're not there. And I'll tell you what they are later, Brian. But Dean had to tell me because I missed a couple, but I haven't missed them all and I'm grateful for that. It requires humility and transparency. It requires vulnerability. Community requires those things. We do not have everything right. We had a man in this church years ago. He said, you know, I used to go to this church up in New Jersey, and they had every single doctrine correct. In his opinion, yeah, I agree with that laugh. They had everything right, but they did not love well. And he walked out of that church completely burned out and wiped out. And he came down here to Virginia and he joined us and got some life breathed back into him. And in spite of things that really bugged him about us that were not perfect, accurate, correct. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You know, we're not perfect, but we are humble, and you need to be transparent. We need to be vulnerable with one another. When you create these opportunities, you need to make yourself available to one another so that things can change in your life. And then the world sees that. We want to reach out. We want people to see Jesus in this church, and that's only going to happen when we do these, the loving well within those lines of orthodoxy. A new commandment, John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men, all people, will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So we need to invest in community. We need to be committed. We need to show up. We need to show up open. We need to be willing to be transparent, to be vulnerable. Then transformation can happen. Living by faith is that natural response. Okay, I'm jumping. Stop and start. Living by faith is the outcome of discipleship, and that is the natural response to the mercies of God, to the gospel poured out on our behalf. Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Discipleship is central to that transformation happening. So invest in that. Invest in each other, in relationships. Again, take advantage of the opportunities that we provide and make your own. Remember that ministry is people. I almost shared this last week. I'll share it now because I think it's right. It just popped to mind. So Bob, I love Bob. He called me out a few months ago. I was up here sharing, and I had shared two times that, you know, I just don't like people. And that was just a fleshly, you know, sinful response to the aggravations that we all provide lovingly to one another. But Bob said, Perry, you can't say that. And he was absolutely right. And I don't hate people. I don't like the aggravations. Sure, nobody does. But ministry is people, and Jesus calls us to love people no matter how ugly they are. Well, that's it. Okay. I'm not trying to dig a hole, but maybe I am. Let me see if I can dig my way out, and if I end up deeper, so be it. I'm not talking about people just in this church. I'm talking about the coworker who is genuinely a vicious, backbiting, stabbing person. I'm talking about a customer that my company has who absolutely hates us and who is doing everything they can to undermine and destroy what we're trying to do, ironically, for them. Long story, bizarre business relationship, but there is some real ugliness going on there, and I've got to remember, instead of walking around the hallways at work, fuming about those people and what they're doing, I need to remind myself that I need to love those people, and Jesus does love those people, and I need to remember that. So there is ugliness. You know, if you think there's not, man, good for you. Wake up, but but there is so much beauty too, and there is. We are created in the image of God, and there is a goodness that God brings forward, but He wants to bring that forward in discipleship. He wants to bring it forward through faith in Him. That's where it really shows up. So ministry is people, and Bob, you call me out if I ever say something like that again. I'll welcome it. It's very good, and I think I'm done. I hope that was encouraging and helpful. Woo-hoo! So we're going to have a song. Come on up, folks. And pray for Jeff. You know what? While they're coming up, I'll see if there's a text message from him saying what's... I had it on silent. No updates from Jeff. But we'll, somebody said, we'll hear about it all next week. So there you go.